Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn on this 19th of December 2015 as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180 on a, I shouldn't say a frigid Saturday afternoon in DMV, but winter finally has reared its head here with these temperature drops, with these temperatures in the last couple of days. It, you know, I'm from Jersey, so you know, not freezing cold, but no more short sleeves. I'll tell you that. You get your jacket and your skull cap when you go out there this afternoon for that, you know, not last bit of the stretch run of Christmas shopping here. Out there, I found out the hard way yesterday as I was badly underdressed. I mean, like, my goodness, like, what happened to the 65 degrees, 60, 60, 75, and 70 degree days? They are gone for now. But, you know, we'll make it through. We'll make it through as we head towards Christmas, which is now just 6 days away. Kind of a transitional weekend in sports. First time that college football really doesn't take the center of attention. It is not the center of attention. You know, a couple weeks ago you had championship week. Last week, you know, Army and Navy and Heisman Trophy, always a big deal. Even though you didn't have any championship type games last week, Army and Navy is special, regardless of how good or bad the teams are. Of course, Navy is very good. Army is not, and it turned out to be a great game. Army almost beat Navy. And of course, you had the Heisman Trophy, which, to nobody's surprise, Derrick Henry turned out to be the winner. But this weekend, you know, you'll have college basketball will have the opportunity to kind of say, "Hey, look at us! You know, we our season started, and you get a chance to see a couple good teams. I know North Carolina plays UCLA. Right now, as we speak, Villanova and Virginia, top 12 matchup. So college basketball will get a chance to, you know, to show itself. But until, you know, until the first weekend in February, it's all about the league with no contract is guaranteed. And that's, of course, the NFL. And I want to begin with the NFL's dilemma that's not only throughout the course of this season that will be talked about well into the offseason and going into 2016, and that is the team move to Los Angeles. You have a situation, and it's an absolute mess, where the NFL wants two teams, at least two teams in Los Angeles, okay? Stadium, no problem. Television market, second largest market in the country, no problem. Here's where the problem lies. I don't think the owners want the Rams to move from St. Louis if you have a city that is willing to put forth any type of effort to build a stadium to keep the team. St. Louis, you know, it came out yesterday, it was raising $150 million to fund a new stadium, along with, you know, the $300 million. The NFL says they're not going to give up $300 million in terms of helping to fund the stadium, but $200 million, and then they'll take it from there to fund a new stadium on the banks of the Mississippi River. Problem is, you have the owner Stan Kroenke, who's bought land in Hollywood. You know, in Hollywood, he wants out. You know, he wants out of St. Louis and wants to go to Los Angeles. All right, team number one. Team number two, you have the San Diego Chargers, who, you know, would have, if they were to move to Los Angeles, would absolutely have no identity going to Los Angeles. They don't have a fan base there. They have a hard enough time generating fans in San Diego, let alone in Los Angeles. A few years back, they had a training camp in Carson City, and this is the first day of training camp when Drew Brees was still on the team, and about 25 people showed up to the day session in Carson City. They ended up moving it back to close to San Diego. So they don't have a fan base in Los Angeles. If San Diego were to move to Los Angeles, yet, there hasn't been much talk, much push to finance a stadium in San Diego. It's like, we don't want you to leave, but we don't want to pay for the stadium either. Team number three, the Oakland Raiders, probably the third and least likeliest of the three teams that will move. We've seen how that worked out. They've been in Los Angeles. It didn't work out. Like, why would you want to even go through that again? Just build a new stadium in Oakland. Listen, they are the Oakland Raiders. I mean, that's all there is to it. They're not the Los Angeles Raiders. They're the Oakland Raiders. But the NFL, it seems like, and there's a split amongst owners and Roger Goodell. Goodell wants two teams in Los Angeles. Okay, he wants a market. They want a market in Los Angeles. Not they, Roger Goodell. Owners are kind of like, we've been here, and done that before. How did it work out for the Raiders? How did it work out for the Rams? And for the Rams, 25 years ago. See, that's the thing people realize. And here's the irony of it. Los Angeles is a perfect, as far as facilities and finances, they are more than capable. Like, Los Angeles can hold Olympics, okay? They can hold Olympics. The facilities are no issue whatsoever. The weather, a place where you can draw free agents, things of that nature. They have a lot. They have a ton of stuff going for them being in Los Angeles. The problem with Los Angeles is it is not Los Angeles, and this was proven with the Rams. This was proven even with the Los Angeles Raiders. It is not a football town, despite the second largest sports market in the country. It's just not a football town. People in Los Angeles is a Laker town. It's a USC town when they're good. When they're good, it could be a UCLA basketball town. Recently, it's been, Los Angeles Kings, as they won a couple Stanley Cups. It is not a football, NFL, pro football town anymore. It's one of the reasons why St. Louis got up out of here 20 years ago. So there's a lot of moving pieces here. There's a lot of things that would have to happen for this to go down. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Here's the bottom line. If the owners don't want it, if the majority of owners don't want it, it's not going to happen. I don't care what Kroenke says. I don't care what Goodell wants. It comes down to the owners, of course, approving this, and it comes down to what the owners want as a whole. If they don't want it, it's not going to happen. Period. But again, listen, I don't know why you don't have to have a team in Los Angeles. You just don't have to. It's not a must to have a team in Los Angeles. It's just not. So, is that going to stop you? Stop if you're a fan in, Green Bay, or if you're a fan in, New York, do you care about whether or not Los Angeles has a football franchise? No, of course not. Stop you from watching the games, ratings, no. Quality of play, no. NFL does not need a team in Los Angeles. They don't need it, they want it. So the difference between want and need, they don't need a franchise in Los Angeles, period. They want a franchise in Los Angeles. And I think the pause for a lot of these owners is again, we've been there and done that. Look how it worked out. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 12 Hour Sports Talk. Each and Surreal Gerald Quinn, as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. How about Star Wars? Star Wars, which came out Thursday for early viewing, did $57 million on Thursday. Yesterday, in a single day, did over $100 million, and it's projected to do anywhere from $180 to $220 million when this weekend is done. Could end up being the highest grossing movie of all time, topping Avatar, which came out, James Cameron directed and came out in 2009. Got my tickets already. When I go home, I'm going to go see it. I'm not one of those, people who I have to see a movie right away, like immediately, like if the first day comes out. I don't have to. I can wait a week, a couple weeks. Star Wars, you can wait a month. But Star Wars is going to be out for a long time. It's going to make a ton of money. It's going to make a ton of money. It's going to be out for a couple of months. You can wait on it. You don't have to be one of these people that's waiting in, an hour line or 2 hour line to see to see that movie. But so far, you've heard some good reviews on it. I've tried to stay away from too many reviews because I don't want any slippage of plot lines or anything like that. You know who's going to be in it. You know Harrison Ford's in it. A couple other people are in it from the original. That's all you really need to know. J.J. Abrams directed it. You don't need to know too much. If you're an absolute fan of the franchise, which I am. But again, it's going to do some record numbers. It's already broken, like I said, the Harry Potter record for one day, which was, I think, somewhere around 90 million, 91 million a few years ago when Harry Potter came out. So, again, this movie could be the highest grossing movie when it's all said and done, the highest grossing movie of all time. Big night in the NBA last night, and with a couple of these games, some very good games. Of course, you had the 4 overtime game in Chicago. Detroit took it out of Chicago 147-144. You had 5 guys with over 30 points. I caught the last 2 overtimes of this game, and the thing that jumped out to me the most, and I thought about it because we discussed it on the last podcast with Rob Steph and Chad Quinn about Derrick Rose and his decline, and does he still get treated like he's a superstar even though he's not? At this point, he's basically a glorified role player on a team. If I mean, definitely without I think without question, they're clearly their best player. I mean, they're clear number 3 behind Butler and Gasol, who both had 30. Butler had a game high of 43. But yet, you had Derrick Rose take 34 shots last night. This is the point guard. You're a point guard on a team with Paul Gasol, one of the most skilled big men in the world, and Jimmy Butler, one of the best two-way players in the world, and you take 34 shots. Yeah, sure. Yeah, 34 points. And 34 points. Listen, 34 points on 34 shots is awful. It's awful. I mean, 34 points. Give you a sense, Jimmy Butler took 29 shots and it got 43 points. But that is, the dilemma that Chicago's in right now. You have a guy who still thinks he's the guy. When he's clearly, when he's not only not the number 1 guy, he's the number 3 guy. Even Kobe Bryant, and Kobe was the butt of all jokes the first couple of weeks with the shot selection, the amount of shots. But if you look at the last week or so, Kobe Bryant, there have been 3 or 4 games where Kobe Bryant hasn't taken the most shots on the Lakers, where it's been D'Angelo Russell. Or where Kobe Bryant, is kind of like taking a couple steps back on a team that doesn't have a Paul Gasol or Jimmy Butler. I mean, that's how delusional Derrick Rose is. And that's a product of the Chicago franchise right now. There's no true leader with that franchise right now. There's no figurehead, there's nobody to control Derrick Rose. So, they have a point guard that takes 34 shots when you have two all stars on your and you start not on your team. And also, the thing that jumped out, is, man, from, to steal a JV line, from top 10 to not mention it at all, how about Joakim Noah? I mean, he's the world's greatest cheerleader, I'll tell you that. I mean, he was on the bench. I don't know how many minutes he played last night, but I can look that up real quick, but I saw the last two overtimes on the bench basically as a cheerleader. I mean, he's become an afterthought on that Chicago team, an absolute just afterthought, to say the least. 2 years ago, this guy was a top five MVP candidate and a defensive player of the year in the prime of his career. Right? He's still young. He has some miles on him, but he's still a relatively young player. I don't know. Joakim Noah is not 30, not Kevin Garnett. And again, he is right now on that Chicago team a clear, and I mean clear, just afterthought. I mean, they got, Miritich, they like Porter, who's a young up and coming player, the rookie, think he'd be a good player. You got of course with Gasol and Jimmy Butler. Like, nobody's talking about Joakim Noah. I still do. Listen, I feel in the right place, I think Joakim Noah could still be an effective player. I think he needs to be out of Chicago. I think he's in the right place. He's there to play. You can't tell me the guy can't play anymore. He's an excellent passer, still a good defensive player, smart player, does all the intangible stuff that you want out of a player, unselfish, fearless. What they've done to him, like, Mike, it's just, I mean, what can you say? Like, yeah, they have rendered him just useless on that team. And, frankly, I mean, he's a better player than that. That's what they want to say about Chicago. This guy is a much better player than how they're using him. Oh, yeah, San Antonio, in the Clippers, and a typical San Antonio Clipper, game. San Antonio Clippers hang with San Antonio and then out-execute them down the stretch. Tony Parker, of course, had a big night. Didn't need a great night out. Say Kawhi Leonard, Duncan had a key chip in. But listen, the Clippers, the Clippers are who they are. I know they had won like five straight, something like that. But they just are not on the level of even those two teams ahead of Golden State, San Antonio. And I don't think they're not even as good as Oklahoma City. And I'm not in love with Oklahoma City. By any stretch, but the Clippers are just, they are who they are, and they're a team that, they're probably going to break that team up after this year because they're just standing still. I mean, they can win 50 games every year and get eliminated in the first or second round. I mean, that's what the Clippers are. They're stuck in neutral, and their best shot was probably last year. And that probably was that getting to the finals, and they wouldn't beat Golden State, but that was to me, they will not have a better shot moving forward in terms of with that nucleus. Look at how many minutes. So in a game that you had, 68 possible minutes, Joakim Noah played 26 minutes, had 11 rebounds, 6 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists. And think about that. In 26 minutes, 6 points, 4 assists, and 11 rebounds. Played 28 minutes. 26 minutes. Right now, out of a possible 68 minutes. Again, I didn't see him in the last two overtimes. Maybe I don't think he played any of the overtime periods. Somebody can call up and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think he played in any of the overtime periods. So they're not, he's not being used at all whatsoever. You saw Golden State take out Milwaukee. A little much to do about nothing after the game. But guess who? Draymond Green, LJ Mayo. And let's not try to make, for the season, Noah's averaging 4 points a game. You know, still good, decent rebounding numbers, 9 rebounds, and shooting 37% from the field. Like I said, they're not using him at all. I mean, they have rendered him just useless as far as that Chicago team goes. So we'll see what happens with that when they around the trade deadline. A lot of thoughts that, you know, the Noah, Gibson, Gasol, one of those three could be moved possibly around the trade deadline. So we'll see what happens with that. And Noah's 30 years old. I mean, he has a lot of mileage for a 30-year-old, but he still has some effective years left without question. Golden State taking out Milwaukee. Let's not try to make this up to be a rivalry. It's not a rivalry. They're bi-coastal, and Milwaukee's not a relevant championship team. Let's calm down. Oh, this is, you know, could they beat them last week coming off a back-to-back in a double overtime game? And then also, you know, by the way, 24 straight wins. And one day they do for a loss at some point. So that's not, again, I'm not going crazy about Milwaukee and Golden State all of a sudden being this rivalry. So there you go with the NBA. Of course, you know about what happened with Rajon Rondo and Bill Kennedy. It's been embarrassing for the NBA. And the most disappointing thing about it is the fact that this situation pushed Kennedy to come out. And, you know, if you want to come out, you should come out on your own terms, not because some, you know, idiot decides to use an insensitive remark and make an ignorant remark like Rajon Rondo did. Bill Kennedy has the right to come out on his own. Should have came out on his own terms, you know, not be pushed by Rajon Rondo's comments. So that was probably the most disappointing part of that situation. 2-game suspension. I thought it should have been more. Could have been 4 or 5 games. But, you know, maybe the players' union would have barked at that. But still, I mean, again, you can't say that. And you can't say that to anybody, male or female, in any shape or form. You just can't say that. And, you know, especially in 2015. So, again, Rajon Rondo, what type of person Rajon Rondo is, as far as, you know, he can be not the most easiest, you know, player to play with, but just to deal with in general, his personality. And, you know, anytime you have to apologize twice for one thing, then that's an issue in itself. Like, you know, the first apology was not a legitimate one, so let me get it fixed and apologize again. Like, you know, that's not how it works. They have yet to talk, and, you know, the thing is, if you're Rajon Rondo, you have to at least make the attempt to contact Bill Kennedy and say, hey, and publicly, face-to-face, on the phone, say, you know, I'm sorry for what I said. You know, a week, a couple of days can't go past without you attempting to contact Kennedy and make that known that you, are sorry for what you said. So, you know, if you get embarrassed in the NBA, I don't know how else Adam Silver could have handled it other than, you know, could have given a stiffer penalty, but, 4 to 5 games. But tough spot for Silver with that situation. 347-215-6180 is the call number. When we return, we are going to talk to some Washington Redskins. NFL picks are still to come. Are you kidding me? And much, much more in this latest edition of 12 Rooms Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn. We'll be right back. Is a call number on this next edition of Total Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn. Of course, you had the Thursday night game, which probably the only people that are watching that game are probably fantasy geeks like myself and bettors that had money on the game. You know, not two awful teams, but two underachieving, but one underachieving team and one team that I like. And I'm a Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay is going to be good next year. I think they're going to be a playoff team next year. And wanted to watch the court. You know, of course, Florida State fan James Winston. You know, watch his development. I had Doug Martin on my fantasy team, so I had an interest in the game without question. But you know, the thing that to me came out of the game, despite the win for the Rams, is the fact that. And there was some reports earlier this week that Jeff Fisher probably going to have probably going to be a coach there for 2016. Who's amazed, and I'll get to another coach who's been recycled again in the NBA, amazingly, despite recent failures. Just amazed, how Jeff Fisher can even be considered to have a job on that team, to have a job ahead, to be that coach next year by the powers that be. Like, if Jeff Fisher didn't make the playoffs, win the division or make the playoffs, I think there's no way that you can keep him. Like, Von Kroenke, I'm like, you got to go. Like, we're not – how much talent do we have on defense? You know, Todd Gurley's one of the best running backs in the league. We have some decent talent on the outside. I know we don't have a franchise quarterback, but that's about 90% of the league that have a franchise quarterback, 85% of the league. So that's not an excuse. Like, what, you know, they are 6-8. And Jeff Fisher, who at one point in his career, when he was at Tennessee, I respected him. You know, teams were tough. They played defense, they played hard, and what have you. But, you know, since he got to St. Louis, let's be honest, it's been a disaster. I mean, they haven't made the playoffs once, not one winning record. And, you know, they've always – what happens to Jeff Fisher teams in St. Louis is they get off to these bad starts, and then they finish strong, and then you say, hey, you know, season wasn't that bad. Maybe next year they're going to be a team on the rise. And then the next thing you know, you're going through the same thing over and over again like a bad soap opera. Jeff Fisher in St. Louis is 26-35 and one. Okay, that's one tie during his tenure with St. Louis, which started out in 2012. All right. Had more than enough time to rebuild that roster. Got the fleece from the Redskins in 2012 with the RG3 draft day trade. So there's plenty of defensively they are loaded. They are loaded defensively, and even then they're still prominent. Even defensively, they're not as good as they should be. They should be that should be the best defense in football. They should be right there with Denver as being the best defense in football, and yet they give up a ton of more big plays than what they should considering their talent. So, again, I don't know what the allure of Jeff Fisher is at this point, if I'm saying Louis. Watching the team play, they are badly inconsistent. You don't know which team is going to show up from week to week. So, Jeff Fisher would have to go if I'm only St. Louis. You'd be on that list of coaches. There's certain coaches who just if their teams don't make the playoffs and win a Super Bowl, they just have to go at this point. I mean, Tom Coughlin's on that list, and he won two Super Bowls. Okay, and he's much more accomplished than Jeff Fisher ever has been, and frankly, ever will be. And Coughlin built two franchises into championship caliber teams. What he did in Jacksonville and what he's done with the Giants. But at some point, you know, four straight years out with not making the playoffs. It's time to move on. So, I don't see how Fisher can be the coach yet next year. I just don't see it. Of course, Washington Redskins tomorrow face off against Buffalo. Two teams that are still fighting for playoff hopes because Redskins are in much better shape than the Bills. As far as division, because they're not in the same division. You know, the Patriots, Redskins are by tiebreaker in first place. In a three-way tie with Dallas, with the Giants and the Eagles. And Dallas and the Bucks. Sorry, Charlie, things that not so next year when everybody is 0-0, you'd be in first place. But, you know, if you're the Redskins, Buffalo's similar to St. Louis. You don't know which team's going to show up. They have some talented pieces at certain spots. some good players on defense, some good skill position players with Watkins and Sean McCoy and what have you. Tyrod Taylor started to come back down to earth a bit. Here's what you do. Here's you know what it is with the Redskins with this game. Just don't beat yourself. Allow Buffalo to kick it to get in their own way, because they've proven over the course of the season that they're great at getting in their own way with the turnovers, with the penalties, Rex Ryan being Rex Ryan. Just let Buffalo beat themselves. I mean, the Redskins stay away from that big mistake, a pick six, safety or a bowl of turnovers. They'll win this game. Again, I think it'll be a close game, but the Redskins have proven over the course of their season that they've been very good in close games, and have been pretty good in finishing games. So just don't, I mean, if you're a Redskins in this game, just don't beat yourself. Because Buffalo will beat themselves. Buffalo, I guarantee you, Buffalo will have 3 turnovers and about 12 penalties in that game tomorrow. At least 12 penalties, at least 10, at minimal, baseline, 10 penalties in that game tomorrow, without question. I guarantee you, that team is not a well-coached team. They are unorganized. They're sloppy. They make dumb mistakes. They make dumb mistakes left and right. And again, they are badly coached on offensively. And not well coached at all. I mean, Rex Ryan, even with the defense hasn't been as good as it should be, considering his talent. So, again, that is a game where, you know, if you're Washington, you just, you know, if you want to play conservative, just don't get in your own way. Just don't beat yourself, because Buffalo will do it for you. Of course, this matchup, I couldn't help but think, looking at this matchup about, 2007, it was the first home game after the tragic death of one Sean Taylor, where the Redskins, of course, came out with only 10 players on defense. Buffalo had converted a big pass play. Greg Williams, of course, was the coordinator at the time, defensive coordinator at the time. Joe Gibbs was the coach at the time. And I remember, I was at a remote doing promotions for a sports station, a local sports station, in D.C. was at a remote, and the confusion was, there was a lot of confusion, and this was typical Redskins back during that time, and it has been for the better part of 15, 20 years, but they didn't know. I don't think Joe Gibbs knew that Greg Williams had that in place, that Greg Williams was going to do that. I don't think he knew it, amazingly, being the head coach, not knowing that your defensive coordinator was going to only send out 10 players in honor of, Sean Taylor. So that was about, so that, of course, jumped out. That was typical Redskins, a ball of confusion at that particular time, despite that season in which they made the playoffs in 2007. But, of course, that, again, it was about, and of course, they lost that game on a 50-yard field goal. I think Lindell was the kicker for Buffalo at that time. But, again, the Redskins had a 5-yard penalty that moved field goal up because of a Gibbs called back-to-back timeouts, which you could not do, can't do. But that, and Redskins, of course, lost that game, but made the playoffs with that great run to end the season before losing to Seattle in the divisional round. So, again, just a reminder of the one Sean Taylor with this particular game. Again, this game, I think the NFC East is going to be decided by, I think, 3 games. They're going to have Redskins, Eagles, Philly, New York, and Redskins, and Washington, Dallas. I think those 3 games will decide this division. So Washington, Philly next week, New York, Philly, last game of the season, and Washington, Dallas, last game of the season. And those 3 games will will absolutely decide this division. 347-215-6180 is your call number. We still have NFL picks and Are You Kidding Me coming up. And I will look at some bowl games, because I understand there are 40 bowl games, and a lot of these unknown bowl games get a bad rap. I understand you're not going to watch every single bowl game. You know, I mean, how many of you, unless you have betting interest, how many people want to watch the Ponceria Bowl, the New Orleans Bowl, New Mexico State versus Arkansas State? Everybody's not going to watch all these games. But there are a handful of, and I'm not even including, like, I'm not counting New Year's Six, I'm not counting the college football playoffs. We know how great those games are going to be. But there are about five or six underrated bowls that you should watch. And I'll tell you about those when we get back on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. We'll be right back. Is the call number on this next edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn as we discuss the world of sports. Hope you enjoy the holiday season. 6 days till Christmas. NFL tonight for a Saturday night game. They have an NFL Network on Saturday night game. Of course, that's one of the reasons why Nance and Sims didn't do, besides the fact that it was an awful matchup, but Sims and Nance will do this game and also do Denver, Pittsburgh tomorrow. So they're going to have your number one team doing three games in basically 3 days. So Dallas and New York, very interesting matchup. Dallas, of course, is a mess right now with the quarterback situation and just the franchise as a whole. I mean, Jerry Jones is all over the place. Greg Hardy thing is a joke. It's a joke, we all know. And, you know, if you're Dallas, you're looking at trip for it. I mean, if you're Dallas, you really need to start, like losing games. Like, you don't need to try to win any more games. Like, finish 4-12 and have an outside chance of getting a number one, top three, top four draft pick. Again, like, winning games does nothing for the Dallas Cowboys at this point. It's comical to me that they would not put Tony Romo on the IR, holding out hope that they're actually going to make the playoffs. Like, that to me, and like why would you want to put him out there after multiple shoulder injuries? With the clavicle. Like, what? Even if you did make the playoffs, you really want to put him out there again so he can get hurt again? But that's the Dallas Cowboys. New York Jets have played well the last couple of games, run the ball again. Brandon Marshall has had an awful caliber season. He's been tremendous this year. Fourth team he's been on there. He's gotten at least 1,000 yards receiving. That's never been done before. Ryan Fitzpatrick has played well despite the injuries. And, the Jets look like they could be headed towards the playoffs. I'm not going to win that division. We all know that. But again, defensively, Jets have picked it up. And they absolutely should have their way tonight with the Dallas Cowboys. They should absolutely run through the Cowboys. The Cowboys, again, I don't care, Cowboys can't get out of their own way. Des Bryant has been awful this year. McFadden has played well. Offensive line is pretty good. And the defense has had its moments. But the Cowboys are a bad football team. This is a game that if you're the New York Jets and you want to make the playoffs, you absolutely have to win this game. You have to win this game and leave no doubt that you are indeed a playoff team. So there are a couple bowl games of note that I want to get to, and again, I'm not going to deal with the New Year's Six games or the playoff games. We'll talk. We have plenty of time to talk about that. Matter of fact, we will talk about that those next week, and we'll talk about those next time we do a program. I will give you the schedule for the program because we're not going to do a program next Saturday. Our next program is going to be I probably would say either the 28th or 29th of December. So that'll be our final program of 2015, either 28th or 29th of December. I will give you more details as the days in the upcoming days, but it'll be definitely without question the 28th or 29th. But here's a couple of bowl games to look forward to. Non-New Year's Six, non-college football playoffs. The Holiday Bowl, Wisconsin, USC. This is a game that's always high scoring. USC is a great offensive team, a lot of NFL talent. Wisconsin, always a solid, well-coached football team. Had a bit of an off year this year, but still, you know, put together a nice season. That should be that's going to be an exciting game. The Holiday Bowl is always high scoring. This might be a little bit biased, but I'm going to say it anyway. The Boca Raton Bowl, Temple, Toledo. Now, keep in mind, when you start laughing, because I can hear my audience laughing, both of these teams at one point were ranked in the top 25. I think Temple still ended the season ranked in the top 25. But both of these are two legit top 25 teams. Temple has a great defense. Toledo is a good all-around team in terms of pretty good offense. So, I mean, I'm telling you, these are one of these underrated games that you need to pay attention to. Again, Temple is a very, very good football team this year. They almost could have beat Notre Dame. They lost Houston for the conference championship. Still bothered by that, but still, they had a very good season. The Russell Athletic Bowl, UNC Baylor. This will be one of the best offensive bowl games of the entire season, because you have two teams that think of defense as a four-letter word, and if they had their chances, they'd play 7-on-7. These are two offensive juggernauts. Don't be surprised if this game is played in the 50s. Don't be surprised. Both these teams are explosive offensive teams. Both of these teams are 10-11 win teams, top 10, top 15 teams. This would be an excellent football game, excellent game. Outback Bowl, Tennessee, Northwestern. Tennessee had a nice bounce back year. Was one of my teams in the preseason where I thought that would bounce back and have a pretty good year. They did. They weren't as good as they could have been, a little bit better, but still compared to what they have been the past couple of years, still had a very good season. Northwestern had a great season, and it started out, of course, beating Stanford in that opening week. Northwestern finished with, I think, 10 wins. This would be, again, this is great, you know, great defense versus a good offense. A lot of people like the Tennessee quarterback. I'm not in love with him, but, you know, he's okay. I mean, he's okay, but he is one of, you know, he is a tailor-made college quarterback who can scramble. He's a guy who could throw for 200 yards and rush for 100 yards. This would be a close, tightly contested game that you can check out, again, the Outback Bowl. The Military Bowl, Navy, Pittsburgh. If you only have one reason to watch this game, it's the quarterback in Navy. The guy, you know, finished top five in the Heisman voting. He got a great college career. Navy was a top 20 team this year. Pittsburgh, underrated this year, was kind of overlooked, but they had a very good year as well. You know, one of these bowl games, it's not must-see TV, but one of these games that will go down to the wire and will be highly contested, and you'll say to yourself, well, I did not watch that game. So Wisconsin, USC, UNC, Baylor, Temple, Toledo, Tennessee, Northwestern, and Navy, Pittsburgh. Those are five underrated bowl games that I think that are worth to watch. Now again, 40 bowl games. There'll be a couple others that come out, sneak out. You know, that'll come out the blue and be good games. But those five games to me stand out. without question. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of 1211 Shortstop featuring Cyrille Joe Quinn. When we return, we'll have NFL picks and much, much more on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyrille Joe Quinn. We'll be right back. Number 15 in the league with no contract is guaranteed. Three games on a week 15 of week 15 action. Again, just 3 weeks, amazingly, left in the NFL season for NFL picks. We'll begin with Pittsburgh and Denver. Pittsburgh getting 6.5. In some places I saw, I've seen even 5.5, really going even to 7.5. And listen, I know Pittsburgh is playing well. One of the best offenses in football. I think the best offense in football with the receivers. Roethlisberger is playing great, playing much better than his numbers indicated. Number he missed a number of games, which blown down his touchdown total for Roethlisberger. Has played at actually playing an all-pro level this year. He's a tremendous player. They have not missed a beat with Le'Veon Bell being out. The Andrew Williams has more than made up for that. But I know the game's at Pittsburgh. But listen, Denver defense is the best in the NFL. And Brock Osweiler, to me, I've been impressed with him. I know he has one bad game in which Denver decided not to block Khalil Mack. And everybody screaming for Peyton Manning. This game will be a field goal game. This game will be decided to be in the last 2 minutes. It could be one of those whoever has the ball last game type game. I'm taking Denver with the points. I think Pittsburgh will find a way to win the game, but because they need it more than Denver does. But I'm taking Denver with the points. 6.5, too many points for me. It's a field goal game. I'll take Pittsburgh to win the game, something like 24-20, 23-21, 23-20, some type of score like that. Game number two, Carolina at New York. I don't think there's ever been a 13-0 team that has received less respect than the Carolina Panthers. For this to only be a four points, for them to only be getting, for the Giants only be getting 4 points, Carolina only be favored by 4 points is a joke. They are undefeated, facing one of the most enigmatic teams in the NFL. I know, I understand the Giants have played well against big teams before in the past. You can go back to 98 with Denver, was undefeated and they beat them. I mean, New England Patriots have had some gaudy records against the Giants, and the Giants have played well in those games. But this is frankly not that. Those Giant teams are frankly much better than this Giant team. I like Carolina with the points. I'm not going to say Carolina will blow out the Giants, but I'll take Carolina with the points somewhere in the margin of like 28-20, 31-20, something like that. Carolina offensively has been great this year. They are averaging over, people don't feel real, I can talk about the defense and running game. Carolina is averaging over 30 points a game. So they are only, along with Arizona and New England, I think the only teams in the NFL that are averaging at least 30 points a game, maybe just Arizona. I think even New England has dropped a little bit in terms of what their scoring is. But the bottom line is Carolina's offense is better than what you think. I'm taking Carolina with the points. Third game, Cleveland, Seattle. Normally, when I see a line in double-digit points, I smile and it just brings joy to my heart because I was like, this is easy picking. Like, no way this line is too many points. So when you see 14.5 points, and I've seen some places where it was even 16.5, you normally say, hey, this is easy picking. give me the points, give me the underdog. Not the case this time. Cleveland is a walking disaster. They're catching Seattle at the wrong time. Seattle's playing great. Russell Wilson's playing great. Give me Seattle and all the points. I mean, give me the points. This game has 31-7, 30-10 written all over it. This game will be over at halftime. Even without Thomas Rawls, Russell Wilson will throw all over the place. Remember, Joe Hayden is out. Joe Hayden, who's one of the best, the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, is out for the season with a concussion. Again, really trust Johnny Manziel against that defense. Good luck with that. I'm taking Seattle with the points. 31-7. It could be even a shutout, 24-0. Seattle will win this game going away. So I'm taking one dog and two favorites with the points. Give me Denver with the points. Give me Carolina with the points. And give me Seattle with the points as well for a week 15 in a league where no contract is guaranteed. So we began the program, of course, talking NFL action. With the proposed move to LA. Again, three teams for two spots, but there's so many moving pieces with this. The owners really don't want it. You have Stan Kroenke, who owns St. Louis. He does want it, but you have a city in St. Louis that wants to keep their team. They raised $150 million for a proposed new stadium. They want to keep their team. The NFL normally does not, does not want to move teams whose cities, incumbent cities, wants them. Normally it's a team that's not willing to, put up the funds for a stadium and they have another place in mind, another location in mind. It's like, okay, well, team doesn't want them. Owner wants to move, let's make it happen. I mean, look what happened with Sacramento in the NBA when Kevin Johnson and company was able to pull together funds to build a new arena. I mean, it was all set up for Sacramento to possibly move to Seattle. So the NFL, Roger Goodell in particular, wants the team in Los Angeles. He wants at least two teams in Los Angeles. The problem is there's not a good fit to either one of those teams as far as everything that needs to happen. Like, yes, Los Angeles has more than enough money and facilities and resources to have an NFL team, second largest television market. But, again, people in St. Louis wants the Rams. The Chargers don't have a good fan base in Los Angeles. What would happen if the Chargers got to Los Angeles? Nobody would watch them play because they don't have a loyal enough. Their following is in San Diego, period. But the Chargers, also the city of San Diego, is not that high on building them a new stadium. And the Oakland Raiders just frankly need to stay in Oakland. We've seen what it looks like for Oakland for the Raiders to be in Los Angeles. That did not turn out well. And if you're an owner, if you're one of the 32 owners, why would you want to go through this all over again where you're losing money, where one of your franchises, a franchise that has three Super Bowl rings, could be losing money because nobody's going to the games and because, again, the interest is just not there. Overall, and this is the most important piece of this, and this was proven, this is one of the reasons why Los Angeles doesn't have pro football. Pro football in Los Angeles just don't mix. It is not a fit for a pro football team as far as the interest. Not in terms of facilities, not in terms of resources. No, that's fine. They have all the resources and facilities that you can have. The infrastructure is perfect. It's not the issue. I mean, Los Angeles could house Olympics. Okay, they've done that before. But they don't have the interest. It's just not there. Los Angeles is a basketball town. It's a Laker town. It's a USC football town. It's a UCLA basketball town. It's a LA King hockey town. It is not a professional football town. Period. It's just not. It doesn't have, does not hold the tradition of the other major big cities like New York or Chicago. Could you imagine the Bears moving away from Chicago or the Giants moving away from New York? It wouldn't happen. Or even the Eagles moving out of Philadelphia. Like that would never ever happen. So think of it. I mean, again, let's just keep this in mind. They've lost two teams. They lost the Raiders, and they lost. I'm laughing at the Monmouth bench. This Monmouth basketball, their bench is hilarious. I'm just laughing as they go through their theatrics. But they've lost two teams. Okay, they lost the Rams and the Raiders. Why would you give them another team to lose? Like, why? Why is this going to be any different now than in the past? Fans don't in Los Angeles don't love football. Period. They just don't. I mean, let's just be honest about that. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition. I was talking to Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. A couple other things before we head out. Mike D'Antoni made associate head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. The dumb get dumber. I mean, how do you bring in that guy to be an associate head coach is beyond me. I understand the whole Colangelo connection. I wouldn't touch Mike D'Antoni with a 30-foot pole. I wouldn't want him nowhere near my players, wouldn't want him nowhere near my franchise. I mean, really. And he falls in the list of guys who just keep getting jobs. It is just remarkable how you can watch Mike D'Antoni and what he did at the Lakers and even consider him, and with the Knicks as well, and even consider him to be a candidate, not for a head coaching job or assistant, for anything. I wouldn't even want him just around my franchise. But the Sixers are the Sixers. I mean, this is who they are. Jason Day's wife is in, I mean, I don't know if she's walking now, but she's alive, I know that, after being run into by one LeBron James. And again, I've watched that like three or four times, but I don't see how she and Jason Day could not see a 6'9", 279-pound man running towards them. LeBron took at least three steps, not two, at least three steps. When he ran to the stand trying to get a loose ball, three steps. And it's like, I'm thinking to myself, is she waiting for him to slow down? Does she think he's going to jump over her? Was she just in shock? I mean, I'm like, move, get out the way. I mean, seriously. And if you're Jason Day, you can't grab your wife. I mean, clearly you wasn't trying to take one to the team. Clearly Jason Day is like, look, one of the top two players in the world, not trying to throw away my livelihood. Sorry. It's funny, but it's not funny. I'm like, because I'm looking at this replay of it like three or four times. I'm like, get out of the way. I mean, please get out of the way. Like, LeBron James is not, there's no way, LeBron James cannot, I mean, LeBron James could not slow down, even if he wanted to. Again, the guy is 6'9", 270 pounds, going in one direction. It wasn't going to happen. And again, there was a part of me for a couple of seconds that thought she might be dead. I mean, seriously. And she was laying for a few minutes. They had to stop the game. The game had to be stopped for at least 10 minutes while they, carried off on a stretcher. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of 12 Love and Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Merry Christmas to all, and I will see you next time on this latest edition of 12 Love and Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. So long.